Thank you, Miss Felita. Well, I made it back up here. Brother Eddie was nervous because I told him, I said, if I don't get up here, you're going to have to preach. And so he was willing, but I think he got some relief there. So he could have handled it. Amen. And so thankful. I told the Spanish ministry down there, I said, now, it's your job to fill this building up. And so they kind of looked at me. I think Brother Jose translated it right. I hope he did. Amen. I don't know what he said to them, but I know what I said. But make sure that you tell Brother Jose, Miss Arlene, how much you appreciate them. I was telling our Spanish ministry, I said, they're the type of people, they're very humble, and they're just good workers. But I said, what you may not understand is they moved here from Los Angeles for the reason to help us with the Spanish ministry. And, you know, when you think about, we talk about all the time missionaries leaving their family, leaving their home, going to places, and that's great. And I'm thankful we support a lot of missionaries. But also, let's not take for granted, here's a family that left their home to come here to help us. And so make sure you tell them congratulations on 6 years. And do this, do all you can to help in our Spanish ministry. Now, we talked as a staff. We just had our staff retreat a few weeks ago. And I said, you know, the thing we have got to continually do is to merge and mesh our church together. In other words, it's not the Spanish church and the English church. It's Currytown Baptist Church. Right, it's not the children's church and the adult church. It's we're one church, and so what we've got to do is continually. And I understand this, you know. I know that there's a language barrier there. Sometimes we look, so I don't understand what they're saying. They don't understand what I'm saying. Well, that's all right. Listen, it's not going to hurt you to make a fool of yourself and try to. You know, you probably know like four words in Spanish. They'll appreciate that, you know, as long as you don't say something offensive, and you probably won't because unless, you know, you've been in the wrong places, you don't know offensive words in Spanish, right? So just do your best to help them and make them feel welcome and do all you can to help Brother Jose. We've got as many Spanish tracts as we have English. So make sure when you hand out tracts, you take some Spanish tracts with you and you hand them out. Here's the great thing about witnessing to Spanish folks. If you don't know Spanish, you just hand them the track, and then you don't have to feel bad because you didn't say anything. You know, if you're witnessing somebody in English and you don't, you know the right words to say, you kind of feel bad and say, well, I didn't know what to say. Well, you don't know what to say at all. So all you do is just say, hey, want to invite you to church and hand it to them? Easy, right? So let's do all we can. Looking forward, it's hard for me to believe we're at the end of 2018. Going in 2019, and I believe 2019, I say this every year, but I believe we serve a big God. I think 2019 is going to be the best year we've ever had, but it's going to depend on us. God's the same. God wants to bless you and wants to bless our church, but we've got to put forth the effort, right? And so you and I know somebody that needs to be in church. We know somebody that needs to be in the house of God. So we can pray for them, and we ought to do that. But I promise you this, the more seeds you put out, the more you're going to have grow. Amen. And so I'm thankful for those that were able to go out yesterday and knock on some doors. We had a good day. A few of you should have been here, say amen right there, that weren't. But I'm thankful. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on the ones that were here, and I'm thankful for that. Had a good day. I want you to turn your Bible to John 16 this morning. John 16, good to see. I saw Miss Blanca here, and good to have their family back with us, and you continue to pray for them. And then several guests I see here this morning. It's an honor to have you. Thank you for being here. And if you're a first-time guest, when we close out in just a few minutes, if you'll stop by the Welcome Center, we've got a gift we'd like to give you for being our guest today. John 16, let's stand together. We'll begin reading in verse number 15 all the way through the end of the chapter. And, you know, it's hard to believe we're coming down to the end of John, 21 chapters in John. We've only got a few more months. That's hard to believe. Just a few more months, amen. Maybe 2019 we'll finish up John, but hope it's been a help to you. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine He said this. He said he had a guy leave his church. I mentioned to you Wednesday night. Guy said he just couldn't get used to his kind of preaching. And he'd been there 3 years. And he said, what kind's that? He said, you know, where you just preach verse by verse. He said, oh, you mean expository preaching? He said, yeah. He said, I'd rather go to church where they preach something practical, where it helps me. And I asked him this. I said, well, exactly how does this guy read his Bible? I mean, God wrote it a certain way, verse by verse. I said, exactly how, what's he do? Skip around and find portions of scripture that he likes, and that's all he ever reads? Listen, if you don't, we're to preach the whole counsel of God. And if all you ever study in your Bible are the portions of scripture that you like, that benefit you, that agrees with what we're doing, you're never going to grow in Christ. And so we've been preaching through the book of John for a couple years, and I don't apologize for that. God wrote the Bible in a specific order. I think we ought to preach it in that order. So John chapter 16, verse 15, Bible said, all things that the Father hath are mine. And therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. And they said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? Well, they're just all messed up, aren't they? They cannot see the big picture of what the Lord's trying to do, because they're focused on something they don't understand. And it goes on and says, we cannot tell what he saith. In verse 19, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you, not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. And I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. And his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. And now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? And behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you. Notice this unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Notice this, I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the precious word of God. How it encourages us, how it brings hope to us. Lord, how it instructs us. And so I pray that again today, if there's one here that does not know the sweet peace of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, today would be the day of salvation. Lord, if for that one that's going through trials and tribulations, I pray, oh God, that you'd be real to them today. May we exalt you and magnify you in all that's done here today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. You know, it's said of someone who has character, the Bible teaches this, it's not how many times we're knocked down, It's how many times we get up. You know, we're all going to face some tribulation. We're all going to face some situations where it seems like the wind's knocked out of our sail, the rug's ripped out from under us, whatever it is. That is part of the Christian walk. That's part of not just the Christian walk. That's just part of life. Can we agree with that? And so a lot of times we think about this and we think, well, it's not fair. If I serve God, I shouldn't have any problems. Well, then you don't know your Bible too well. You are always going to have problems. And so we're going to get knocked down. We're going to get knocked down. We're going to get knocked down. But I'm glad in all of that, we never get knocked out. Jesus said this in the last verse of this chapter. He said, I have overcome the world. And so if you're a Christian, when it's all said and done, we have to realize that we win. Hello? Hey, listen. You know, I didn't watch it. I was at the teen party last night. But, Brother Paul, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think there's any way Alabama's going to win that game last night. I thought, I was praying there'd be no way Alabama win that game. But I got home and I turned it on. And guess what? Georgia had pretty much led the whole game. But at the end, Alabama won. Now, they probably cheated. I'm guessing they probably cheated. But regardless, the final score was they won. They were victorious. And so really, you know what? It doesn't matter who's winning the ball game in the first quarter, second quarter, halftime, third quarter, 2 minutes left in the game. When the last second clicks off of that clock, what really matters is who has the most points. Amen? And we have to look at that in life. It seems like things are not going your way, not going our way. It seems like we're always on the losing end. But may I say that because of Calvary, 2,000 years ago, you and I have victory. And so just know this, that you're never out with Jesus Christ. You may get knocked down, beat up. It may look like the cards, the deck stacked against you. There's no way we'll come out ahead. But I sure am glad. The very thing, my friend, the greatest enemy mankind has ever had is death. And Jesus conquered death. And because of that, you and I have victory today. So we are victorious because He's victorious. And so we may get knocked down, but I'm glad we're not knocked out. I mean, it may look like the devil's winning. It may look like there's no way that we'll ever have victory, but I sure am glad, praise God, when it's all said and done, we have victory in Jesus Christ. So in this scripture, Jesus deals with a couple things I'll share with you today. Number one, look at the confusion of the disciples. You know what I've learned that today, if you don't stay in the Word of God, if you do not know your Bible, with the way Christianity and religion is, you will be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Listen to me, folks. If you follow a man or you follow a denomination or you follow a group of people and you get all of your doctrine from them, you will be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo because they may change, they may disagree, they may decide. And here's what we've come to realize, Brother Gary, that men, guess what? Men can be wrong. Preachers can be wrong. Brother Ken, I was wrong one time. This morning I was wrong. So we all can be wrong. And so we have got to stay in the Word of God. We've got to know the Bible. And here are the disciples. They're walking with Jesus Christ, and He is the Word of God. He is the very essence of the Word of God. And as He explains it to them, it's amazing. They never got it. They couldn't get it. Even here, there was confusion. And today, may I say that there is confusion. When you deal with your emotions, when you rely on what your intellect is, when you rely on what you feel, right? You with me? You know what? Everything's based on our feeling. This is how I feel about it. This is my truth, right? This is how I perceive it. Listen, friend, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you think or how you feel. The only thing that matters is what God says. And so when you stand before the Lord, you can say, well, I felt like I was okay or I thought I was okay. But the only thing that's going to matter is what did you do with Jesus Christ? And so these disciples, they stayed confused about 3 years out of the 3 years they walked with Jesus Christ. They never could understand that, my friend, you and I, get this, do not have to understand everything. We just have to follow Jesus. And so here they deal with, the Bible deals with a couple things. In verse 13 or verse 15, it deals with the possession of the Lord. In verse 15, he said this: "All things that the Father hath are mine." Now get this: all things that the Father hath are mine. In other words, he owns it. Can we agree with that? So when we look at this church, I'm glad we say this is our church. This is the church we're members of. But are you ready for this? You don't have an ownership stake in this place. I don't have an ownership stake in this place. This is not my church. It's not your church. It's not the Spanish ministry's church. It is the Lord's church. May I say this? The house you live in, I know you pay the monthly payment, but it's not your house. It's His house. Your body is His body. Everything, here's what He said. He said, God owns everything. You know what else He owns? You ready for this? Your pocketbook. That's what verse 15, all things. Now, I'm not real smart, but I tell you this, you can take the Greek, Hebrew, you can take Spanish, English, Chinese, Japanese, but I tell you this, Brother Brad, the word all means what? All, everything. In other words, Jesus is saying that everything is the Father's. Amen. And so your life, your ministry, your health, your pocketbook, your children, your house, your cars, your job, you don't own any of them. They're all His. The very breath that you breathe is not yours, it's His. The life you live is not yours, it's His. So may we agree that He has the right to tell us what to do with it? Hallelujah, we're getting somewhere now. So what belongs to the Father belongs to the Son. And what belongs to the Son belongs to us. Because we're joint heirs with Christ. Today you and I are joint heirs. Everything that the Father has, we have access to. What a privilege. You know what? The victory through Jesus Christ, we have access to it because we, my friend, are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen, your Bible says that He is the only begotten Son. It does not say He is the only Son. If your Bible says that, get you the right one, praise God, because now have we become the sons of God. Listen, Jesus is not the only Son of God. Through Him, I'm a son this morning, amen. Hallelujah. So this morning, the possessions of the Lord they are confused about, and today we're still confused. We look and say, well, as long as I give my 10%, the 90% belongs to me. No, sir. 100% of everything you got belongs to Him. And He may tell you to give 10%. He may tell you to give 20%. He may tell you to give 30%. But it's all His. Your life. Listen, just because you come to church, and let me say this, I'm thankful you're here today. But when you walk out of here, you get in your car and you go home and say, well, I'm done with Jesus till next week. No, sir. He's the one that gives you breath. He's the one that gives you the ability to work. He gives you the common sense, whether you have a lot or a little, amen. He gives it to you. And so everything, when it comes to our health, our wealth, our prosperity, everything belongs to Him. And then there's the not only the possession of the Lord, but the puzzled disciples in verse 16 to 19. They still don't get it. In other words, the Bible said, a little while you shall not see me again, a little while and you shall see me because I go to the Father. Now what He's doing here, He's setting them up for what's going to happen. He's telling them what's going to happen. Because in just a few chapters, here's what happens. Jesus is going to be crucified. He is going to be buried in a borrowed tomb. He is going to rise on the third day. He's going to be gone. And He's telling them, guess what? It's not going to be long and I'm not going to be with you anymore. And then, guess what He does? He comes back, doesn't He? Hallelujah. Hey, when they thought he was gone, when they thought he was somebody had stolen him, when they thought that it was all said and done, guess who shows up on the scene? Guess who walks in when the disciples are weeping and lamenting? Guess what? When they feel sorry for themselves, who walks in the room? Hallelujah. He didn't need anybody to answer the door. He just shows up where they're at. And I'm glad today, when nobody else knows where you're at, when you think there's no hope, when you think there's no victory, I'm glad right in the midst, Jesus still shows up in our lives today. I'm glad that he's still walking through, amen, passing through, giving us victory. And so they were puzzled and they didn't understand. Now, may I say this? You may not understand what the Lord's doing. You may not get it. But don't beat yourself up, because I'll guarantee you, if we took a poll in this auditorium today, that most of us would say, I don't really get it all the time. One preacher said it this way: when you can't track him, you got to trust him. Amen. When he's not on the radar of our common sense, when we don't get it, may I say he's still at work? Boy, that ought to help you this morning. Just keep on trusting him, because you will not. You don't understand the ways of God, neither do I. So they were puzzled. The word desirous means this: continually having to know the meaning of Christ's words. But Mark, it wasn't because they wanted to be Bible scholars. They wanted to know what Jesus said and how it affected them. Not because they cared about the will of God. Right. Can I help you with something today? People they're not different today than they were 2,000 years ago. They're not different today than they were in Noah's day. They're not any different than they were in Adam and Eve's day. We want to look out for number one. You know what Eve said? That old serpent told Eve, said, you know what? Now let's revisit this. We've done this before, but let's put ourselves back in the garden, okay? It's perfect. Everybody's saying, hey, look, I tell you what we want to do. We want to go to paradise for our anniversary. We want to go to Hawaii. Well, I'm sure it's pretty. My wife and I are not going. That's too far to fly. I know, it's, Brother Jerry, it's beautiful. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't like what Adam and Eve was a part of. I mean, it was perfect. They didn't have no volcanoes and earthquakes. Hallelujah. It was perfect. And God said this. He said, you can eat all the trees in this place except that one. Just that one. And I'm sure they had apple trees and peach trees and banana trees, and they probably had steak trees and chicken trees and banana pudding trees and whatever it was, they were all there. And he said, you can eat all of this, just not that one. And the devil showed up and told Eve, said, hey, that one is better than all these. God don't want you to have that one, because he's trying to keep you from something. He's punishing you. And well, he knows once you eat that one tree, you'll be like him. And she said, oh. Well, that sounds good. I think I'll eat it. Then she gave it to Adam, and he ate it. Now, I don't know about you. When we get to heaven, I'm going to have a talk with him, aren't you? Well, we're no different. The Bible says, okay, here's some things you need to stay away from. And the Bible said, here's some great things that you can have all you want. And you know what we focus on? We focus on these things that the Bible says stay away from. And we miss all the blessings of God. And that's exactly what the disciples were doing. They're saying, hey, we don't get it. How's this benefit us? They didn't care about the will of God. They didn't care about the plan of God. In other words, they were saying, what do I get out of it today? Amen. We're no different. So they were puzzled. Then, verse 20 through 22, you see the prophecy of sorrow and joy. He says, verily, verily, or that word, that means truly, truly I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Well, that's kind of weird. No, it's not, because Jesus was saying this. They're going to kill me, and it's going to turn your world upside down. They're going to rejoice over it. You're going to be devastated because of it. You've got to trust me. Can we agree this morning that God's plans are right and our plans are messed up a lot of times? Well, that's what he's telling me. He's saying, look, it's not going to make sense to you, but you're going to weep, you're going to lament, you're going to be devastated. And the very world that I'm trying to save and trying to help is going to rejoice. It's no different today. Man, you let Christ, the cause of Christ, be stamped out, and people rejoice. Let's be honest, we live in a day in a world where evil is called good and good is called evil. And when evil seems to triumph, all of a sudden it's a great victory. When Christianity, when the Bible wins, you know what? We'll say, well, that's racist, that's oppressive, that's against everything, that's hateful, that's prejudice, whatever it is. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care where you come from. What I'm saying is the Word of God is what matters, and what you think and what I think doesn't really matter that much. Can I be straight with you? There's times, Brother Marty, I read this Bible, it offends me. You know why? Not because God's offensive, but because I'm offensive to Him. And the Holy Spirit of God is convicting me, saying, hey, you need to get in line with this thing. So what I'm saying, folks, is we will have sorrow while the world rejoices. How many times have you heard this? Well, it's just not fair. Here's Brother Tim, Miss Kay, they're serving God. They got all these trials and tribulations. Here's this guy. He's wicked. He's out living like the world. He's worshiping the devil. And they've got money and they got popularity and they got fame and they got all these things. We look at that and say, these folks are being oppressed and this person's got all the riches of the world and it's not fair. That goes through our mind. Let's be straight. Let's be honest. I was going to come down there, but y'all don't want to see me fall down these steps. Hallelujah. So I'm going to stay up here and I about fell anyway. So we get in this mindset of calling, we don't understand. We'll say, well, it's not fair. Listen, friend, may I say that this is just for 75 years. Just a blip on the screen of eternity that they are winning. Several years ago, Charlie Sheen, most of you remember him, he went through all that immorality, and his catchphrase was, I'm winning. If you've seen him lately, he ain't winning.
Right.
He looked like he'd been hitting the head with the ugly stick more than one time, I promise you this. So they may win for a little while, but friend, we're going to win for eternity. And so the Lord will turn our sorrow into joy. You may be going through some trials now, but may I say that the Lord can turn your trial into joy? Can I say that our trials will not be terminal and our frustrations will not be final? Amen. Hey, it's just now. We're passing through. It's a time in our life we're going through, but we've got victory in Jesus. So the confusion of the disciples, number two, is the communion of the disciples. Look at verse 23. I want you to look at the end of verse 22 first. The Bible said, and your joy no man taketh from you. You know what he's saying? If your joy is based on what people do to you or don't do to you or how they treat you, you don't have much. He's telling these disciples, I'm going to give you a joy no man can take away. He goes on verse 23 to say, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. In those two scriptures, in those two passages, what's that talking about? It's talking about prayer. Right? Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name. That's prayer. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive. That's prayer. So here's our communion. In other words, let's put it this way. Here's the disciples. Right now, when he's talking to them, they don't They don't have to pray because they can talk to him like you and I are talking, right? But he's saying there's coming a time when he will not physically be with them, and they will have to ask or pray. And my friend, what he's telling us today is the fact, whether he's here physically or not, whether we see him or not, that our communion with him happens in our prayer closet. And so we see the prayer promise. Here's what he said: whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. That's, unless I'm reading it wrong. Unless there's an addendum there, unless there's something else I'm not seeing. He just says, if I ask anything, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. We already agreed he owns it all. Right? My uncle, somebody looked at me like, preacher, I'm not getting this. He owns it all. So whatever he wants to give us, he has the resource to give us. Now I realize this, Brother Mark. I realize that in this passage and over in the Word of God, we have to be in the will of God. In other words, if you come up and say, "No, Lord, I'm gonna claim that verse. And that lottery is that. What's that lottery up to now?" See, y'all smart. Miss Vine, how you say that, and somebody said, 190 million. I said, why are you playing that lottery? But if you pray and say, now, Lord, I'm praying to win the lottery, and then you don't win it. So, well, that scripture's not true now, preacher. You said anything I asked. Come on now. Come on. Can we get real? The idea in this scripture is that we are in communion with the Lord, and what the Lord wants is what I want. I want the will of God to be done. If I want the will of God to be done, why would God tell me I'm not going to give you the resources to get it done? You ever thought this, folks? You ready? I'm not going to harp much. I know it's Christmas, you know. I know you got to buy presents for all the little tykes and you know, get them all that stuff. And if you don't, they're going to be crazy and, you know, they're neglecting all that stuff. But don't stop giving because it's Christmas. Don't stop giving to missions because it's Christmas. Don't come up with all this, well, I ain't got the money at Christmas to give my tithes and offerings. All that comes first. That comes first. That comes off the top. If somebody has to be neglected, let it be Verizon. Okay, somebody's not going to get paid this month. How about it, Spectrum?
Yeah.
Right? You with me? Not Jesus.
Right.
Not our missionaries. Not what God's trying to do. So then when you ask and you're having some trouble with AT&T and you've done the right things and you've given first fruits, saying, "Now, Lord, you know what? I've tried to honor you in my giving. I've made a commitment to give to missions. I've done all that. Now I'm having a little trouble this month with my AT&T. God just may throw a check in the mail and say, take this and pay AT&T. But you've got to get the right things in the right order. You with me? He's got to be first. And when he's first, all of a sudden you say, you know what? This stuff ain't mine, it's yours. I'm just going to trust you. You'd be amazed what God does. Hallelujah, good preaching. So the prayer promise, he said that your joy may be full, satisfied. Amen. And then there's the proverb plainly explained in verse 25 through 28. He said, I shall show you plainly of the Father. So here's what he's saying. He's telling those disciples, you're not getting it now, but when I go, remember he's already made the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said, now when I'm gone and the Comforter comes, then you're going to see it plainly. You're going to understand it. When you try to read this book without the help of the Holy Spirit of God, it's cloudy. Amen? And so the proverb plainly explains. Jesus spoke many times in parables. Why? Because it brought clarity to those who believe, but it was cloudy to those that would doubt. Jesus said there will be a time when he can tell them plainly. That day that he speaks of talks about when the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, we will have access to God through the ministry of Jesus Christ. So the communion of the disciples, and then number three, let's check this out. This is going to help you if you'll hang with me. The Bible said in verse 29, his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things. All right? Jesus said in verse 31, Do ye now believe? Verse 32, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Get something out of that verse. Look what he said. He said, the time's come. You're going to be scattered. You're going to feel all by yourself. You're going to feel like I've left you. You're going to feel like all that you have is you. Anybody ever felt like that? You ready? Let me break it down this way. Nobody cares. Huh? Anybody called me? Nobody sent me a card, Brother Mark? I've been going to that church 27 years. The pastor ain't been by, and the deacons ain't been by, and Sunday school teacher ain't called. On and on and on and on and on. Why? Poor, poor, pitiful me. That's how we feel, isn't it? I'm not critical. I'm saying that's how we are. Don't nobody... I had surgery. Nobody at work called me. I said to somebody yesterday, I said, I'm hoping with my knee I don't have to have surgery. So I said, because I know how my family is. They'll put me down in the basement. Put me in that down in the dungeon. I'll lose 97 pounds because nobody ever feed me. I can't get upstairs. They say, he's fine down there. Just leave him down there. All by myself. Amen. That's how we feel, isn't it? And that's what he says. He says, hey, here's the comfort. How can we have comfort when we by ourselves? He gives the comfort of the disciples. The profession of the disciples in verse 29-30. He said, his disciples said this. He's now are we sure that thou knowest all things. Okay. Well, I don't know about you, Brother Junior, but that still does not help me that much, because if he knows all things, what he's telling them is getting ready to happen, that don't sound like too much goodness. You ever thought about this? We give Peter a hard time, don't we? But what are you going to say when the Lord tells you, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows? What are you? Nuh-uh. That's what we do. But Lawrence said, you don't know what you're talking about. I'd never do that. He knows everything. He's telling Peter he's going to deny him. He tells us in his word that all we like sheep have gone astray. We all have. Right. You're in here, you're part of that all. There's nobody in here that has not gone astray from God at some point in time. I didn't say you went out to the clubs and cheated on your wife. I ain't talking about that. Maybe you never did that. But you can't tell me that in your life that you have always, every day, drawn closer to the Lord today. You're closer to God today than you were yesterday. There's never been a time where you went backwards. You can't say that. So before you pat yourself on the back and look down your nose at somebody that may not be walking with God like you are, you might ought to realize that you have been there and you might be there again. Amen. We're all just one day from being away from God. Better be careful. So they said, hey, you know all things. Well, that's good. But let's be honest. Sometimes what he tells us, we don't want to hear. Sometimes what the Bible tells us, it don't sit well with us. His disciples should have the confidence regardless of their circumstance. Can we agree this morning? I'm almost done. Hang with me. Look up here. We're not praying yet. Look up here, not the floor. You don't always have to, God don't have to always explain it to you. You don't always have to understand. It don't always have to look like sunshine and rainbows. Because if you say he knows all things, then you and I know in the end, you know who wins? This guy does. You do. So, he gives, we see the profession of the disciples, but then in verse 31 to 33, he gives the peace of the disciples. Look what he said. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe?" Oh, they already said, "Hey, we know. You know all things. We got you. We're with you." Amen. How many times we say, who's on the Lord's side? We've sang that song, "Who's on the Lord's side?" Me, you know. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We in our hearts, I believe we think that. We believe it. We want to do it. And here they said, you know all things. He said, okay, well, who believes? Can't you see him there? How many of you believe I know all things? And those disciples are like us Baptists. I do, Lord, me. Me, I'm the favorite, right? I believe. I trust you. And he said, oh, good. If I were to ask you this morning, how many believe he knows all things? We'd all go, that's me. I got that. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. Because it's almost like he's saying this. All right, good. Brother Charles, all right, good. Here it is. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Look at verse 32. "Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, it is now come that ye shall be scattered." Whoa. Whoa, Lord. "Every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Oh. There he is. He said, we believe you know all things. He said, oh, okay, so you're telling me you believe? Yep. Amen. Well, here's what's coming. Brother Barry, here's what's... Y'all going to be scattered. I'm leaving. I'm not going to be with you. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. Well, hold on, Lord. Let's get back to you telling us how good things are. Amen? Let's go... Whoa. Let's go back to how good it is to walk with the Lord. It is. But you got to face the reality that just because you face some things in your life, you ready for this? Doesn't mean God's mad at you. It doesn't mean he's mad at you. You ready for this? Just because somebody else is going through some stuff in their life, don't you look down your spiritual nose at them and say, well, I wonder what they did. That may be God chastening them. But can I give you something? You listen to this, you listen well. You ain't the Holy Spirit. You can't even fix your own self. Why are you worried about trying to fix somebody else? You can't even examine your own life and see what God's trying to do. What makes you such a spiritual giant you can look down your nose at someone else and say the reason they're going through? And you know who's the worst preachers? I'll tell you why they're going through that. You don't a bit more than a monkey know why they're going through that. They may be living so close to God. The devil said, hey, if you let me have them, I'll show you. And that wouldn't happen. It happened to Job. Before you look down your nose and try to figure out why some else is going through, you better look in the mirror and figure out why you're going through it. And so here they are, and he said this. He said, you're going to go through tribulation, but be of good cheer. Choose joy. That's what he's saying. Here's the reason why. He said, I have overcome the world. You ready? I'm done. Listen to me. When you're going through your darkest storm, when you're going through the biggest trial of your life, Jesus is saying, I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I have victory in Jesus, and you have victory in Jesus because He has overcome the world. You're still going to have trials. You're still going to have storms. But in Him, we win. You may get knocked down, but if you're a Jesus Christ, you love Jesus Christ and follow Him, you're in Him, you may get knocked down, but you're never knocked out. You know what I like about those old Rocky movies? That dude got whooped. I mean, every one of them, he just got beat, beat, beat. But you know what? He kept getting up. He kept getting up to the end. He'd knock them out. In other words, here's what he's saying. You go ahead and beat up on my face until you get wore out. And then when you're wore out, I'm going to knock you out. Sometimes you got to get beat up on a little bit to win. To be victorious, you might have to get beat up on a little bit. You might have to get knocked down. But aren't you glad you're not knocked out? That ought to give us hope this morning. Let's stand together all over the auditorium. Let's stand together, bow our heads, close our eyes. Thank you for your attention.